بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, Alhamdulillah, as you know, this is the season of Hajj. So during this season of Hajj, throughout the from different countries of the world, different towns, different cities, people would embark on the sacred pilgrimage of Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Hajj compulsory upon all those who have the means to go for Hajj. It is one of the pillars of Islam. And we have heard, we have read about Hajj, we know about Hajj, how sacred a pilgrimage it is. It's a very auspicious journey. In many cases, it is once in a lifetime experience. Our brothers and sisters in Cape Town especially, they save all their monies for a long period of time. Over years, they save their whatever pennies they have. And then comes the day when they leave and they depart for Hajj. So it's a life-saving in many, many people's condition. There are those who are fortunate who go for Hajj regularly. But this sacred journey of Hajj, it's not just an ordinary journey. So even though some of us who may be listening to this talk may not be going for Hajj, may Allah take us for Hajj. Especially, I always make dua for that person upon whom Hajj is fard. Allah create the means for him to go for Hajj. And even that person upon whom Hajj is not fard, Allah give him the means and take him for Hajj also. I made Hajj in 1995, that was the last. So it's over 31 years. It may be strange to many people. Alhamdulillah, I've gone regular to Umrah. May Allah take us for Hajj and Umrah. But it's not just an ordinary journey. It's a very special journey. You are going as a chosen delegation of Allah. You have been selected to go in this delegation. You are wafdullah. Therefore, the virtues also are tremendous. Al-Hajj al-Mabrur laysa lahu jazaun illa al-Jannah. The reward for Jannah, the reward for Hajj al-Mabrur is Jannah, paradise. Man hajja falam yarfuth wa lam yafsuq raza'aka yawma waladatu ummuk. The person who goes for Hajj and he is not obscene, he does not commit sins. In other words, he does not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He controls his gazes, he controls his eyes, he controls his tongue, his limbs. Then he returns home like the day his mother gave birth to him. Comes back pure, purified from sins. So this journey, inshallah, many hujjaj are still, many people are still going for Hajj. Many of them are first time they're going for Hajj. Some have been already there in Makkah, Medina. Inshallah, if these few words reaches the ears of the Hujjaj, just simple advices, and even for us, whether we go for Hajj or we don't go for Hajj, we are still worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever Allah gives us the tawfiq of Hajj, then you must remember these advices. That when you're leaving your home, remember, you are chosen by Allah. You are in the delegation of Allah. Then my humble advice is, leave as a lover of Allah. Leave as a lover of Allah. So it becomes a different journey. Now in front of you all the time, your gaze, your direction, your goal is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every step you take, every qadam you take, you must feel I am proceeding closer and closer to my Allah. So Noon Misri rahmatullahi alayhi, he met a youngster who was going for Hajj. This is that you are going for Hajj, mashallah. Such a long journey. In those days there were no flights. They had to go by camel's back, cross the desert. Long journeys they would undertake. So he tells the youngster, such an arduous journey. So much of sacrifices. You're going to go through a lot of hardship, difficulties. and you're embarking on this long, tiresome journey. So the youngster replied that, "Oh uncle, it is not a tiresome and an arduous journey for a lover of Allah. For a lover of Allah, it is a special journey. A person does not feel the fatigue because he is going closer to his beloved Allah." So this should be our mindset. Those who are still going for Hajj, then leave your home. Of course, recite the du'as when you're leaving the home. There will be those tears that you shed when you're leaving your family members, perhaps your parents, and in some cases the little children who'll be holding on to them. It's a difficult experience that your child is crying and you're holding back your tears, or sometimes you just burst out crying. But if you ponder and realize, where are you going? You're answering the invitation of Allah. So that prompts you, get that gives you the himmah to embark on this journey. Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi, he met a haji upon his return from Hajj. So he meets the haji, and while just talking to the haji, he asked him, "What intention you made when you left for Hajj?" "I made intention for Hajj, going to Baytullah, going for Hajj." He said, "Did you not make the intention that, oh my Allah, I'm embarking on this sacred journey, I'm leaving my home, and now I'm going with this intention that I will leave out all sins and your disobedience?" He says, "That didn't cross my mind. I just went for Hajj." Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi says, "Then you have not departed from your home." He says, "En route, when you stopped, there were stopovers, perhaps transit. In that time, did you feel you are getting closer to Allah? Did you feel that attachment with Allah, that excitement in your heart?" He said, "I was so preoccupied looking at the other hujjaj and other things that I didn't feel that excitement in my heart." Then he asked him, "When you donned the ihram, when you put on the ihram, did you feel that now, and when you removed your normal clothes that you were wearing, did you not feel that you are discarding all those egos and haram pleasures that you had, and now you're throwing it off, and now you're donning that ihram, and you're going to clothe yourself with the pure life?" He said, "I didn't think of that." Then he says, "You went to Arafat on that beautiful day of Arafat, when millions of hujjaz, they are standing out under the blazing sun, and they have raised their hands and they're crying to Allah. When you went to Arafat, did you not feel the presence of Allah there?" Again he replied in the negative. He said, "I was so busy, preoccupied, looking at this one and seeing to that and eating, etc." At this point, a humble, simple advice to our hujjaj who are going, and as I said many times, it's just young couples who are going, the first time they are going. Arafat is the most important day. Of course, all the 5 days are important, but Arafat, if you're not there on the plains of Arafat, then your Hajj is not made. And unfortunately, in our times, because we become so preoccupied with the cell phone, and we forget that we are the delegation of Allah, then our mind does not go on what is important. On the day of Arafat, that's the day when Shaitan is most disgraced. He cannot endure millions of people being forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He takes stand and he throws on his head and he curses himself. He cannot see thousands of people being pardoned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a special day when Allah's rahmat comes. And therefore I advise, on that Mubarak day, find that time, that opportune moment and come out of the tent and go out. You don't have to go out in groups. Go out. Do not bother about what he is saying, what he is seeing. You go out. If you're going with your wife, then you would make dua together. Or you make dua individually. It is only you and Allah. Only you and Allah. That is the time you're going to bond with your Allah. That is the time you will repent over your sins. You will shed those tears of nadamat, regret. You will have flashes of your past and you will cry, and you will cry profusely. You will make promises to Allah. You will beg Allah. You will realize you're just an ordinary servant, a slave of Allah. You will feel the qurb of Allah, the proximity of Allah. You will feel something in your heart. It is a time when you will want to stand for long periods of time. You can stand for long, long times. And you will beg and beg and beg and beg. And even after you finish your dua, you want to make again and again dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let it not happen that you don't find these beautiful times. You're busy eating. Or unfortunately we complain and complain and complain. This wasn't right, that wasn't right, the food wasn't tasty. This happened, that happened. The entire 5 days will go by. And we come back only to regret that we did not spend our time correctly. And because it's the once in a lifetime opportunity, everybody is not lucky to go again and again. So make the best of it. Value every moment. Every moment is precious. Therefore I said, the moment you emerge from your home already, start your journey as a lover of Allah. So then he asked him, Junayd Baghdadi Ramadan asked him, okay, when you went to Muzdalifah, when you picked those pebbles, when you collected those pebbles that you were going to throw at the Jamarat in Mina, did you not feel, did you not think, for all those wrongs that you did in your life, and you picked up all those egos and passions just to throw it in Mina on the Jamarat? He said, no, my mind didn't go to all those things. In other words, he just did it as a ritual. There was no spirituality in his Hajj. And this is vital. That is not just a ritual, not just a fard that you're completing. Go with a spiritually charged heart. And then he said, when you stood before Baytullah, what was the feeling? My respected brothers and elders, every single person when he goes there, he becomes awestruck. Especially the first time you're going in your life, and you just stand there and you just, the tears just roll down your cheeks. And in fact, every time you go, there is some magnetic attraction, some force, this nuraniyat. Our Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say that when you're coming close around the Kaaba in the tawaf, you say, as though you're feeling those splashes of Allah Ta'ala's mercy cascading upon you. So did you not feel that the presence of Allah, or did you not become overwhelmed with the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, unfortunately not. So Nun Misri Rahmatullah asked him, when you went to Safa Marwa, did you ponder over the sacrifices of Hajar alayhi salatu salam? Ismail alayhi salatu salam was a baby. The sacrifices she made. She was left all alone in the barren lands of Makkah with a little child. And of course, the sacrifices of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, who on the instruction of Allah had to leave his family all alone there. There was nobody else there. There was no food, nothing at all, no water. And she ran to and fro. Did you not think of all that? He said, I didn't even think about her sacrifices. He said, then you have to reenact your Hajj. Go back for Hajj again next year, or whenever you get a chance again, because you haven't fulfilled your Hajj properly. Therefore, respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters, this Hajj is extremely sacred in our life. The rewards are tremendous. You know, when you're making tawaf of Baytullah, whether it is Hajj or Umrah, at that time, your mind should only be on Allah. You are right at his house. You are going around his house. You're making tawaf. Like some person mentioned, like how a dog is going around the butcher's shop, waiting for him to chuck a piece of bone. Like that, we are slaves. We are going as sinners to be purified the 7 rounds. Oh, Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say that as though you're going through the 7 rounds of a washing machine, that 7 spins, and after that you become absolutely, the clothes become clean. Like that, you're going to cleanse yourself, purify yourself. You see the Ahlullah, the Allah Walas, how they perform the tawaf with khushu, khudu. There was an occasion when Urwa bin Zubair rahmatullahi alayhi sees Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma making tawaf. He joins the tawaf, and as they are proceeding in the tawaf, Urwa bin Zubair rahmatullahi alayhi was interested in marrying Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu's daughter. He thought this is the right time now. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma is making tawaf, perhaps in a good mood. Let me propose for his daughter. So he proposed for his daughter. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu ignored him. He ignored him totally. Urwa bin Zubair rahmatullah said, "Ish, I don't think he's interested in my becoming his son-in-law." He kept quiet. Finished the tawaf, he goes back home. When Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu meets him later on, meets him nicely with a smile, they said, "Urwa, you tried to tell me something whilst we were making tawaf. What was it?" He said, "I wanted to marry your daughter Sauda. I tried to propose for her. And that's what I mentioned." He said, "Urwa, at a time when nahnu natakhayalu Allah, at a time when our khiyal, our thoughts, our mind was only focused on Allah, was it that time you must ask me about my daughter?" We will look at this person, that person. Somebody had mentioned to Arif Billah Zakir Makhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali once. They were there in Makkah Mukarrama. "Hazrat, this Indonesian woman," he said in Urdu, "they look, you know, so mashallah, like kabuta, like pigeons, white pigeons." Hazrat said, "You are making bad nazri. You have come to such a Mubarak land. There too, you are talking, you have become attracted by such people, like others. Your mind should be focused on Allah. Therefore, very, very important in Hajj, in Umrah, in Tawaf, Safa, Marwa, Mina, Muzdalifah. Obviously, so many people are going to be moving together. At that time, we should be lowering our gazes. Have complete control of your nigah, your gaze. Do not spoil your Hajj. Do not spoil your Hajj. Everything goes so well, and at that moment shaitan, he will insinuate, he'll whisper, he'll cause you to do something that will spoil your entire Hajj. Therefore, it is important to bring this taqwa, remind ourselves, beg Allah, Allah grant me this taqwa, Allah make this Hajj go beautiful." Beautiful does not mean, mashallah, the plane ride was very good and the flight, everything. Mashallah, that's also important. But more than that, that when you go there, you feel spiritually charged, such that when you return also, there's a change in your life. People, just upon meeting you and seeing you, they'll make out, "This man has really changed his life." You have to go with that purpose, that intention. "I'm making sincere tawbah, istighfar. I will not go back to my evil habits." And therefore in Hajj, a person makes that firm promises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we make dua, "Allah grant all the hujjaj the Hajj mabrur." You know, what is their status? In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a dua, "Allahumma ghfir lil hajj. Allah forgive the hujjaj. Waliman istaghfara lahul hajj. And also for those people on whose behalf the Hujjaj will make dua maghfirat." So again, we are sitting here in Masjid Nur. Those Hujjaj who will listen to this recording, we humbly beg them also to remember us when they are making dua, and they are crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking for forgiveness, then they must mention us also, so we can also be included in their special dua. That's their status, their position. You're going as a slave of Allah, you're going as an ashiq of Allah, you're going to gain the muhabbat of Allah, and of course in Madinah Munawwara, the adab of Makkah, the adab of Madinah, the etiquettes. Don't worry about buying this and, yes, you will buy something permissible. But don't spend the entire days in the marketplaces arguing and bargaining. Just pass the jewelry shop. Unfortunately, you can hear some South African bargaining about this price and that price. And do not complain. That is why they say take bags of sabr when you go. Everything might not be exactly how you want it. There will be those sacrifices. Sometimes the bus might come late. There might be some passenger who is giving some taklif to some person. We have to make some sabr. But don't complain about especially Makkah and Madinah and the people of Makkah and Madinah. That person who went to Madinah Munawwara, he bought some milk. He did not like that milk. He complained. He said, this milk is very sour. When he slept at night, he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his dream, commanding him to go get out of my city. You're complaining about the milk of my city? You don't deserve to be in my city. And we complain so much. Then there is so much of israf, wastage. If you're not going to eat something, don't take that food. Even in the plane, take your own food, enjoy your own food. How often you see a person taking the tray, open something, and the entire tray goes into the dustbin. You are answerable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. While traveling, you're going as a haji, and you're not performing your salat. Even in the plane, you're not performing it. Not performing it on time. You're making qada. No, this is not correct. Make sure now your fara'id, you get properly done. Your azkar, your dua, your sunnah, wajibat. Try your level best to get all those things correct. And most importantly with that is akhlaq. What is hajj? Tibul kalam. Kind words, cheerful words. Speak nice to people. It'amu ta'am. Feed people. Whatever you have, whatever you can afford, spend some money, do not be a kanjus. You bought some juice, you bought some water, bought some milk, you gave the hujjah, just leave it, let them take it. It'amu ta'am. Wa kathratu salam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum. People, different parts of the world, learn to make salam. Learn to assist people. You're standing in the toilets outside Mina, Muzdalifa, Arafat. There's an elderly person. He must be got an urge that is stronger than yours. You are a young man. Give him preference to go into the toilet. When we are traveling, how often we use the toilet in the plane and we leave it filthy. Leave it clean such that the person who comes after you, that it is absolutely clean for him to use. Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali, traveling in the trains in India, and a non-Muslim sitting across him, he goes to the toilet and immediately comes back. So Mawlana realized this man did not relieve himself. So after some time he wakes up and he goes himself, and he realizes the toilet was left filthy, so he cleans the toilet, comes back and tells that Hindu person, "Bhai, you can go and you can use the toilet." And when he went, he saw that Mawlana Rahmatullah had cleaned that entire toilet. He comes out after relieving himself, he embraces Islam. In the plane also, we're fighting with the steward and this person and that person. We'll take 2-3 seats so that we can sleep nicely. Somebody else's seat. This is not the caliber and the shan of a believer. We'll cut lines and queues in the airport. The plane is hardly landed, we are ready to come out. Always in ujlat, take bags of sabr. Try and improve our akhlaq and character. Make sure the money is halal. If you owed any person any money, go up to the person. "But yeah, I'm going for hajj. Please, I promise I will pay this, whatever. Make amends or make sort out your life before you go. It should not be like they say, Billi so chuhe ko khakar, Hajj par gayi. The cat ate 100 mice and then went for Hajj. Your money has to be halal. Otherwise, in the plains of Arafat, you're saying, Labbaik, Labbaik. And Allah answers back, La Labbaik, La Labbaik. There is no Labbaik for you. So these are important things that we need to bear in mind. Our akhlaq, our time, value our time. Spend our time correctly. Doesn't mean the entire time you've read, be in ibadat. Yes, you'll relax. Sometimes it's very hot. You need to be hydrated well. You will meet people, but don't involve yourself in ghiba. Don't sit with a cell phone and see the news of the world, whatever is this happening, that happening. Now you are focusing only on Allah, improving your life, connecting to Allah, connecting to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when you return back home, then you have returned as a spiritually charged believer, and now you have made progress in your life. There's so many other advices. These few advices have come to mind that we need to make sure that we have good akhlaq. Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi says, would you be a pilgrim on the road of love? Then the first condition is that become humble like dust. You have to lower yourself. Become humble. Have tawadu. And then embark on this journey. If you have pride, arrogance, you're going to hurt people, you're going to cause them taklif. Man hajja falam yarfuth walam yafsuq. You do not be obscene, you're not making any sins, then you will return back as a haji with all his sins forgiven. May Allah ta'ala grant all the hujjaj hajj mabrur maqbool. Allah make it be easy for them in all these conditions. Obviously they worry whether they will reach it. Inshallah, Allah make everybody reach the well and make it a beautiful hajj for all. Allah grant all of us the tawfiq of being for hajj, and he must be a hajj mabrur. Allah unite the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, hujjaj should make special dua for the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah is taking you there on the plains of Mina, Muzdalifa, Arafat, even after stoning the Jamrat when duas are maqbool. All those places where dua is maqbool, then you should value that time and that opportunity. It doesn't have to be a lengthy dua, even if it's a short dua, but from the bottom of your heart, sincerity. Then especially for Muslim brothers and sisters in Gaza, and also so many war-torn countries where they're being butchered to death, and they're going through so much of pain and suffering. Allah chose you, make the best of it, and remember the ummah in your duas, and we also make that humble appeal that you remember us in your duas. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.